one second, I'd like to welcome Shai Schechter, special super solicitor tonight for Ellis Bond. And what makes it so special is I'd like to say he's not coming from the outside to give a sikha to strangers. He's really that one. This was his makom. He sat right here next to Rabbeinu Rav Shechter Shmita, learning together. Seeing him here, back here again is wonderful to us. There's so much we can learn from him. He's a chassid of Torah. Everyone loves listening to him, so it's really so close tonight to have Shai Schechter with us.
Thank you, Rabbi Beke. It's hard to be in this space membership and not say Rishus Avi Mori Virabi, even though he's not here tonight for Night Seder, but this is his house, and this is where he lives, and I feel he's always here. And his hashpa is always here, so Rishus, my father, and all the Talmidim who are here, all the Rabbeim, all the Mechavale HaTorah Ve'Lomdeha. So we're at the very end of Sefer Devarim. And obviously it's the tail end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, of Moshe Rabbeinu's journey, leading Klal Yisrael, leading the Jewish people. But I'd like to take our attention all the way back to Parshas Tetzaveh, where the Torah there describes all the unique articles of clothing that the Kohen Gadol needs to wear. So in the description, the Torah says that a Kohen Gadol has to wear the tzitz. And the reason for that is, v'haya amitzvot tamid, it should be on his forehead at all times, a golden plate that has emblazoned on it the words Kodesh LaHashem. And as we're told in Chazal, the reason for that is that it should serve as a constant and a steady reminder for him that all of his service in the Beis HaMikdash, that everything he does, that every move that he makes, every part of the avodah that he's involved with, all of his noble activities are supposed to be for a divine and an elevated purpose. They all needed to be designated as Kodesh LaHashem, completely consecrated for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it sounds like a fairly simple idea, but in truth, it's a very unusual mitzvah. It's an unusual command and expectation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of the Kohen Gadol. We're talking about the holiest human being in the whole Jewish community. We're talking about an individual, the only one who's given the opportunity to have an intimate encounter with the Ribbono Shel Olam in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He's the only one who's able to atone for the chataim of the Jewish people. And yet, even though he lives, Kvodo V'Sifarto, like the Rambam says, he dwells in the Beis HaMikdash. It's where he belongs. It's where he spends most of his time, rarely leaving the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. With all of that, a person who's living every moment of his life designated toward the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, does this very lofty individual need a reminder at all times in the day, Kodesh LaHashem? What do you think is going to be crossing his mind? What else is he doing in the Beis HaMikdash? Why else is he living here with nobody else around him that seems to be sharing this experience? Suggests Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Sefer on Chumash Dirash Moshe that perhaps the requirement of the tzitz is not something that is only unique to the Kohen Gadol. It's not limited to the message of his clothing, but it's something that he suggests is relevant in its message to every Jew, even a non-Kohen, even someone who does not live in the Beis HaMikdash, even someone who does not live at the time of a functioning Beis HaMikdash. Explains Rav Moshe, you can be completely involved. You can be totally absorbed. You can be fully consumed with anything. Even if it's a divine encounter with the Ribbono Shel Olam, you can be living in the Beis HaMikdash. You can be the one who goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and yet, at the same time, it's so easy for a human being to lose focus. It's so easy, as people who we are, that whatever it is that we may be doing, all it takes is 1 second of our attention being grabbed away from us. All it takes is 1 minute of us focusing on something else. Or perhaps, in our generation, not just our eyes wandering or our ears hearing, but maybe our hands moving, are able to take our attention from whatever it is that we may be doing and so easily become inattentive to what it is that we're supposed to be focusing on. It takes us out of the moment. We don't feel present in the moment. And that is what the Kohen Gadol's instruction was. Even if you are the Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, on Yom HaKippurim, the holiest person in the holiest place on the holiest day, you also need a constant reminder of mission and purpose. Why it is that you're here? What is the goal? What's the aspiration? What is it that we expect of you? What is it that you should expect of yourself? Because it's so easy for a human being to get distracted. In the end of Parshas Mishpatim, we read about one of the times when Moshe Rabbeinu goes up on Har Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs him that he should come up Arba'im Yom V'Arba'im Laila. And as we know, this was not a one-time event. It was not a one-time occurrence. Moshe Rabbeinu was invited up three times to spend the very special time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu learning and understanding everything that the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted him to know about the Torah. But how is that formulated? Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, writes the Pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe Rabbeinu, Alei Elai Ha'ara V'Heyei Sham. Come up on the mountain, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'Heyei Sham, and be there. And why do I want you to come? Ve'edel lecha azbuchas ha'eben v'hatorah v'amitzvah asher kasavti lehoros. And I want you to come up because, of course, I enjoy your company, Moshe Rabbeinu, but I want you to come because I want you to understand the entirety of Torah in order that you should have the ability to give it over to the Jewish people. Now, Rashi there wonders, as we know, every word in the Chumash is so carefully calculated, is there for a particular reason. Every non-word, every letter, every space, everything's very calculated. So ask Rashi, why is it that we're told, Alei Elai Ha'ara V'Heyei Sham? Of course, if Moshe Rabbeinu is going to go up on the mountain, of course he's going to be there. What do you mean, Heyei Sham? So Rashi explains that perhaps the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said V'Heyei Sham is the Ribbono Shel Olam was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you should be advised that you're going to be here for an extended period of time. This is not just a nevuah. This is not just going to be a one-time conversation. This is going to be Arba'im Yom V'Arba'im Laila. So the way we would say it is, roll up your sleeves, get comfortable, Moshe Rabbeinu, because you're going to be here for the next little while. Find yourself a comfortable place where you're going to stay, where you're going to sit, where you're going to be, and I want you to remain there for the next 40 days. Actually, Rabbi Daniel Stein, back when I was learning in Yeshiva, he sat over there still. Okay. For those who are Zatha to be in Shir, Ashrechem. So Rabbi Stein once shared with me on this pasuk a remarkable insight from a sefer I would never have looked in on my own, so I'm grateful to him because I never would have found it. I don't even know what the sefer is called. It's written by Rabbi Cheskel Mikuzmir, one of the great Hasidic rebbes in the 1700s, and he writes that perhaps there's something deeper going on here in the pasuk. Alei Elai Ha'ara V'Heyei Sham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, how often is it the case that we have an opportunity where we're invited to a dinner with friends, to a business meeting with a colleague, with a co-worker, where we're asked to go somewhere to a family simcha, we're asked to attend an event with a bunch of other people, and it's long overdue, and we make the reservation in the restaurant, we make all the arrangements, sometimes we even borrow a car, or we rent a car, or we take the train, and we figure out how to make all the arrangements, and we're excited to be there with whoever it is that we have marked down in our calendars. And yet, with all that we do to prepare for that, we show up, we come there physically, we're people of our word, somebody expects me to be at a dinner, somebody wants me to be at a meeting, of course I come. But we're simply not there. We're just not there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Moshe Rabbeinu and he says, it's not good enough just to show up. It's not good enough. Alei Elai Ha'ara is not sufficient. Alei Elai Ha'ara, there's an additional expectation. V'Heyei Sham. You need to be there, Moshe Rabbeinu. Be present. I'm inviting you up to study all the entirety of Torah, to understand everything there is for a person to know. But it's not good enough for you to just be sitting at the table, for you to be standing in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You need so much more than that. V'Heyei Sham. You need to be there. Because it's so easy for a person, even the Kohen Gadol, even Moshe Rabbeinu, to get distracted and to lose focus and to lose the sense of appreciation and euphoria that one is supposed to have, especially when being in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's no secret to any of us that with the rapid advancement of technology in our generation, and I say our because I'm the same generation as everyone here, with all the high-powered smartphones and tablets that we have, with the highly dynamic opportunities that we're given for global communication and everything that our world gives us the ability to be a part of, we all lead very busy and very somewhat, I guess, complicated lives. But that being said, just think about it. At any given time, we can be worrying about 10 different things. My email and my WhatsApp and my Facebook and my Twitter. That's before you get to your text messages. I think about it all the time. I have people in my shul that want to call in the shiur. There are times when I'm not available, such as I'm giving one of my children a bath, as I should be doing, because I am their father. So somebody calls, how long does it take me to give my son a bath? 5 minutes? 10 minutes maximum. So somebody calls, I don't pick up. Next thing I know, they send me a text while I'm still with my child in the bath. And they text me, you know, I tried to call you, I have a question. I don't know if you saw my call. Just letting you know that I called. So they send me a text. No less than 5 minutes later, I'll get an email. I tried calling and texting you, you didn't answer. I hope everything's okay. Are you alright? This did not just happen once in my life. And I'm not that old. It's happened multiple times. The expectation of all of us to be present and to be everywhere all at the same time sometimes leaves us absolutely nowhere. Because we're so frazzled, because we have so many different parts of ourselves being pulled in different directions, and we become diffused. And we don't have the ability to focus. And we don't have the ability to be present in the moment with our passion, with our feelings, with our love, with our thoughts, because we're too stretched and we're too engaged in too many different things all happening at the same time. And that says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Kohen Gadol, you need that reminder on your forehead at all times. Kodesh LaHashem, because even you, the Kohen Gadol, even in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, even on Yom HaKippurim, you also have the ability to forget what your purpose and what your mission actually is. You can be Moshe Rabbeinu. You can be on Har Sinai. You can be in the heavens with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, Kaviyachal, and yet you too need to be reminded, Alei Elai Ha'ara, Ve'eyesham. One of the most uplifting moments in Jewish history was obviously the glorious experience of Kabbalah Satorah. And when that happened, so the Medrash tells us that the world came to a complete standstill, and all of nature became aware of what it is that was happening. The Adam Kavid al Ahar, and there was lightning, and it was such a staggering scene. And we're all familiar that Klal Yisrael fainted, they were revived, they came back. It was the opportunity for the finite to touch a piece of the infinite, to actually have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the first time. And yet, I'm sure it's crossed many of our minds, just a few weeks later, after this exalted, memorable moment, so we all know that Klal Yisrael somehow made the fateful mistake, the greatest Jewish calamity of all history, which was the Egel Hazak, which is so illogical, so impossible to understand, so indefensible. How do you explain what happened? Klal Yisrael, you just experienced Har Sinai, which brought from the Lord of Asa. And then you fall prey to the Egel Hazak. How is it possible? It's just hard to wrap our heads around it. So, I was once curious about this, and by chance I came across a Medrash in Shir HaShir. And I believe the Medrash addresses not only this question, but it also speaks to the very challenge that we're describing here for our generation. In the fourth paragraph of Shir HaShirim, the Navi tells us, Livavtini ba'achas me'inayich, which seemingly, on a surface level, seems to be something that is describing a sense of love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for the Jewish people. How do you understand what that pasuk means? Livavtini ba'achas me'inayich, you love me with one eye. What does that mean? When was the last time you loved anybody with one eye? How do we understand that? So I once asked my father, what does it mean, Livavtini ba'achas me'inayich? And he told me perhaps what it means is when you have a couple that's been married for so long, when you have a couple that understand each other so deeply, when you have people that really have shared so many experiences with one another, they get to a point where they come to a room, they can be standing on opposite ends of the room watching the same experience, seeing something unfold. They don't have to say a word to each other. All they need to do is wink at one another, take one glance, one glare at the other. Without saying a word, they know what the other person is thinking. I can just look at your eyes and I know exactly what it is. I can wink at you, you know what I mean, and I know exactly what you mean. And that, he suggested, is what it means when the Navi describes our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Livavtini Da'achas me'inayich. We have such a deeply profound relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're so close to Him. We've shared so many experiences. Livatini ba'achas me'inayich, like that couple that knows each other so well. All they need to do is wink at one another and they know exactly what the other person is thinking. And that is in some way the way we're supposed to approach our feelings, our closeness, our connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a nice interpretation, but the Medrash explains very differently. The Medrash there actually asks this question. Mahu ba'achas me'inayach, asks the Medrash. What does it mean when we say, Livaktini ba'achas me'inayach, you love me with one eye? How do you love somebody with one eye? Explains the Medrash, Sheba'ayin Hasheni, Kvar Hayim Mistaklin ala Egel. The Medrash writes that this is in the negative. This is describing the moment of Kabbalah Satorah, writes the Medrash. We were standing there at Har Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there giving us the Torah, and yet we only had one eye focused on the Ribbono Shel Olam. You know where our other one eye was? Distracted. We were not present. Kvar Hayim Mistaklin ala Egel. There was already this idea swimming around in people's heads. They were already focusing on the next place where they need to go, the next thing they're going to be involved with. That's how the Egel Azav happened, writes the Medrash. Because people weren't focused. Because people were not present at this most awesome, most incredible moment in Jewish history. People did not understand the gravity. Klal Yisrael didn't understand how lucky they were to have this opportunity. And they already had one eye that was distracted and thinking about something else. And that was their downfall. It's become extremely challenging for our generation. I can say, I look around in my shul, but I don't think it's unique to my shul. How often do you look around? I hope not in Yeshiva. When you see people all around you, how long is a shacharis minute in an average shul? 40 minutes, 45 minutes in the morning? And you see people, you're lucky if you go through a minute without somebody's phone ringing. At least people should be respectful enough that they turn the ringer off. But how often do you look around and you see? People are just scrolling through an email, scrolling through a Facebook post in the middle of davening. So you'll ask yourself, well, obviously you shouldn't do that in the middle of davening, but somebody in my shul asked me a very good question. So I don't do it in the middle of davening, and I don't talk to anybody else, and my phone never rings. Why does it bother you if in between my Shmona Esrei and the Chazaras HaShas, while I'm waiting those couple of minutes or seconds, however long it is, what does it bother you if I'm on my phone and not bothering anybody else? Minding my own business. It's an excellent question. So the answer that I think really speaks to this point is, imagine you're at a wedding. I'm assuming everybody's here has been to a wedding before. Under the chuppah, there's a lot of downtime. When you become a rav someday, or even if you're not a rav, but you attend simchas. So we happen to attend oodles more weddings and simchas than anybody else. And especially in my community, Baruch Hashem, which should always be simchas that we're busy with. But, thank you, say that louder. But you sit at a simcha and you realize sometimes how much downtime there is. What's going on? What's happening? From the time the badekin is over until you start for the chas mekal long day, it's got to be half an hour. At least. What's happening? What's that going to do? So, what do we do as guests? So we pull out our phone, you brought the marker along, maybe you brought your chumash along, maybe you're doing some shayrira, you're catching up on your emails, maybe you're responding to all the texts you didn't respond to, whatever you're doing, you're doing things. Okay, now imagine, chuppah starts, chassan comes in, kala comes down the aisle, there's always some downtime there also. Like suva takes a little while to read, you always have that one person who gets the bracha under the chuppah who forgot and is standing all the way in the back row, has to jump over everybody to get to where they need to get to. Or you have the person who's calling for the bracha who just forgot to come to the wedding, and everyone's looking around, oh, busy, that's didn't show up, oh, what are we going to do? Let's give someone else, on your side, my side. These things happen. Imagine, while all that's going on, the chassan pulls out his phone and starts scrolling through his Facebook posts and starts scrolling through his emails. You know, this is as good a time as ever to start catching on things and not going to have a chance to do a show with us. So why is everyone laughing? Because it's insane, that's why we're laughing. Because it makes no sense. Why does it make no sense? Because hey, it's so disrespectful to the kala. Come on, you're here together. No, she's doing the same thing. right? They say there's something on the bus home with his wife, and he's texting the whole time, and his wife is texting the whole time. So somebody turns up and says, you know, you're finally on the bus together, all your kids are home, everybody's sleeping, just enjoy your time. They say, we are, we're talking to each other. You know, that's the way it is. So imagine you have the chassan on the chuppah, texting on his phone, going through his emails. The kala is doing the same thing. Look, they're very careful about their time. They don't want to waste a minute of time. Why would everybody in the crowd be looking at them in amazement? Because it's insane. Why is it insane? This is your moment. Do you not understand? This is your chuppah. Everyone's here for you. You can't even focus on the moment that's yours. You don't even understand that this is where you need to be present right now and not somewhere else. So nobody would ever dare to do such a thing under their own foot. Well, that's really what's lacking when we think about our experience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and tefillah. You're not a bystander, you're not a guest when it comes to tefillah, when it comes to connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are the chassan v'kala there, connecting with each other, having the opportunity to express your love and your relationship with each other, and standing under the chuppah, scrolling through your Facebook posts. Yes, so there's downtime. Well, what does the chassan v'kala do when there's downtime under the chuppah? What should I do when there's downtime in the meeting? Option A, dive a little slower, there won't be so much downtime. Option B should never be to take out my phone. But why do we do it? Nobody's evil, nobody thinks bad, nobody wants to look ridiculous. It's because it's so hard for us to focus. It's so hard to be in the moment. And we need these constant reminders. We are no greater than the Kongel. We're no greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. All human beings have a tendency to get distracted from the goal, from the mission, from the purpose, from what it is that they're supposed to be busy with. When we're introduced to the story of Yosef HaTzadik and his brothers, so Yaakov Avinu instructs his beloved son Yosef to go out to the fields, and he wants him to check up on what's happening. What's happening with the sheep? What's happening with the cattle? What's happening with the brothers? And this obviously was a mission that changed the entirety of Jewish history. This one very simple instruction that Yaakov gives his son to go out into the field. So Yosef ventures out, and the Torah says, "Vayisa ehu ish," and some anonymous person finds him. "Vehinei toav hasadeh," and he's wandering and he's lost. "Vayishalei mishleimar," and this unannounced, unidentified person turns to him and he asks him, "Yosef, matibakesh, what are you looking for? What is it that you need?" And Yosef very innocently responds, "Esachai ofim abakesh. I was sent out by my father to look for my brothers. I'm curious where they are. Hagidah ali eifo and roen. Tell me, where are my brothers? I haven't seen them. I can't find them." Seems like a rather straightforward, simple conversation between this anonymous person who Rashi tells us was a malach and Yosef HaTzadik. But yet, the Kutzer Rebbe suggests that this very cryptic conversation was not something that was limited to Yosef HaTzadik. It's something that's talking to every single Jew for all eternity, and that is, and we come down into the world and sometimes we find ourselves wandering in the fields. And it's a very confusing place. And it's very complicated and we lose direction. And people are searching for meaning and purpose in life. And people are wondering, which way are we supposed to turn? There's nobody out there in the world telling us where to go. And we're completely lost and have no orientation at all. And it is then that the Malach needs to step into our lives and say, what is it that you need? What is it that your focus and your goal and your purpose is supposed to be about? Matibakesh, what is it that you want? What are you trying to get out of all of this? Because if you don't ask yourself that question every so often, you will never be able to be focused. And that is the question we all need to ask ourselves. What is the goal? What is the aspiration? What is the purpose? How do we stay focused on what it is that we're trying to accomplish? And perhaps I was thinking, maybe this is what it means. Sometimes we go through the halachos, and some of them, we almost shrug our shoulders and say, it's not really so relevant to me. I really don't violate this avera, ever. So obviously the Malachusers say we should go through the halachos, and the Hashanahs, we should write our own lists, and we should have our own ideas. But let's say you don't do that. Let's say you're just following the siddur, you're just trying to follow along, make it through your davening, understand the words that you're saying. So one of the halachos that I always skipped over, never really paid too much attention to, I said it, but it never really resonated with me at all. But then I realized, maybe it's actually talking to us, to our generation. What does it mean, das? So the simple understanding means, we have sinned before our HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we weren't thinking. We're not paying attention. But maybe it means, das, that we're just not paying attention to anything. We're just not focused. And because we're not focused, we're involved in so many different things that are taking our focus away from what we're supposed to be focusing on. And we cannot be present in the moment. And perhaps that's what we mean when we say, Al-Khayt Shechatan L'Fanecha Bibli Das, that we lost focus of Achashalti Neis Hashem Oza Abakish. Rav Asher Weiss once told me, what does it mean? We start the pasuk, Achashalti, something I asked in the past, Osa Abakish, something I want now, in the present tense. Why does it switch like that? And he told me perhaps what it means is, in different stages of our lives, we change. We have different interests. We have different things that excite us. Sometimes we're interested in this kind of event, sometimes we want to participate in that kind of event, sometimes we're more focused, sometimes we're less. We have different moments in our lives where we feel different things are exciting to us. David HaMelech says, with a clear conscience, Achashalti Me'ez Hashem Osa Abakesh. I had one goal through the entirety of my life. I stayed focused on the goal when I was young, Shalti, that which I wanted in the past. Osa Abakesh is what I continue to aspire for now, in the present tense where I am. At this stage of my life, nothing has changed. And it's been the same goal throughout the entirety of my life. And what is that? All I want is to remain focused on what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me at every moment of my life, at every juncture, every stage of my life. It all boils down to the same point, and that is, Shifti B'Leis Hashem Kol Yimechai, that has not changed from when I was young to now at this stage when I'm older. We know that after Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz HaDaas, the Torah records a remarkable conversation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Adam HaRishon. So we know the famous words that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls out, Vayomer lo Ayeka. And he calls out to Adam HaRishon and he says, where are you? Now Rashi comments, what do you mean Ayeka? HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't find Adam HaRishon? The Ribono Shel Olam is the Kol Yachol. He just created the world. And even if he wouldn't have created the world, there were only two human beings in the world. It shouldn't be so hard to find them. So what's the question of Ayeka? Now Rashi says, obviously it doesn't mean Ayeka. Rashi says it was just a way of engaging Adam HaRishon in conversation. But the Alshev there writes in his Pirush on Chumash that perhaps what it means is, this is not in a geographical context. It's not asking Adam HaRishon, where are you? I can't find you. I'm looking all over. And where are you hiding? Of course not. Rather, says the Alshev, what it means is, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu asking Adam HaRishon a character assessment, a character evaluation. Adam HaRishon, you were created. Misofa olam v'yasofa, like the Gemara says. Your purview, your vision was so expansive. I gave you an opportunity to appreciate the entirety of the world, the whole cosmos. It's all yours. Hashamayim shamayim ha'ashem v'ha'aretz nasan v'nei adam. It's all here for you. And you were created with that vision, with that understanding. I put you in Gan Eden. You understand what life is about, and now this is where you are. Ayeka Adam HaRishon. You ever ask yourself, where are you? So Rav Zevin quotes a story from the Baal HaTanya, where he writes that the Baal HaTanya on one occasion in his life was in a Russian jail. And the jail warden saw that the Baal HaTanya every day was learning, was reading, inspired books, different things. And he comes to the Baal HaTanya and he says, you look like a very religious man. He says, I am. Well, do you believe in the Bible? Do you believe in Tanakh? He says, yes. So I have a question. How do you believe in a God that can't even figure out who the first human being is? He asks him, Ayeka? He thinks that the Marisha got lost? How could his Baruch Hu couldn't find him? So the jail warden didn't know Rashi, didn't know the Yasha. So he had this Kasha. So he asked the Baal HaTanya. By the time he turned back to him and he said, we believe that every word of the Torah is eternal. Every word of the Torah is speaking to us at every generation, wherever we may be. And the Baal HaTanya said, so what is meant by this Baruch Hu says this? It's the Ribbono Shel Olam asking all of us, in every subsequent generation as well, at every juncture in our lives, Ayeka, where are you? Are you able to remain focused? Are you able to give your attention to the goal at hand? Are you able to take all the distraction? I went to YU also. There will be distractions readily available for you every minute of the day, especially if you sit on this table where I sit. There's always something happening. There's always something going on. There's always somebody hanging up a poster about something. There's always something that a chaver is going to be angry about, another chaver is going to be excited about. This is the way it goes here. Kulam aluvim. But that's the question we need to continuously, constantly ask ourselves. Ayek, where are you? Where are we? Not in a geographical context, but rather as a character assessment, as an evaluation. Where are you? Not only where are you going, where are you headed, what's the plan, what's the vision, what's the aspiration, but where are you right now? When you're sitting in the shir, when you're sitting in davening, when you're at slichos, when you're involved in whatever it is that you're doing, are you actually there? Do you have the ability to look inside of yourself and ask, Ayeka, where am I? It's the question HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked of Avad HaRishon. And it's the question that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects all of us, writes Rav Zevin, to ask of ourselves as well. When we're together with our friends, when we're together with our Rebbe, when we're together with our parents and our families, and certainly when we're together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, with the Borei Olam, do we allow all of the distractions to take our attention away from the moment that we're so privileged to be living through, from the opportunity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, the gift of experiencing? Do we allow ourselves to take in the rich and fulfilling gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us all the time? How lucky we are. Ashrei Matov Algeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us so much. He gives us families. He gives us friends. He gives us Rabbein. He gives us himself. It's not something that every human being in the world can say. Not everybody is family. Not everybody is friends. Not everybody has people that care about them. It's a gift that we have in our lives. And it's our opportunity to take advantage of those moments and to be present when we are given those great gifts of spending time with each other, spending time with those we respect and admire, and ultimately in spending time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. I can just humbly wish everyone a Siva Bakasim Toba, Shem Spaser, Bibisuros Tobas, Shulos, and Achamos, the Yimalei Hashem, Kol Mishamos, the Beinu Toba.